Thank you, Stanley, for pulling that double duty. All right, I did it on purpose. I knew Stanley was reading scripture, so I gave him an easy one. We're in Acts chapter 2 this morning. Acts chapter 2, we'll be starting in verse 42. I hope everyone's doing well today. It was nice weather, just a little bit of rain yesterday. I like rain. I like all weather, actually. Hot, cold, rainy, sunny. I just enjoy changes of weather. But what I don't like is, like, yesterday, I was getting ready to leave the house, and I told my kids, all right, mow that yard. And when I get back, I want the yard mowed. And they come up with something, well, Dad, this or that. And no, just mow the yard. And as I'm leaving the house, I can tell it's about to rain. And then I see a bolt of lightning. God! So I called them up and said, don't mow the yard. Just wait. They got lucky. So I don't like that when it keeps my kids from doing chores. So, but today looks pretty sunny, doesn't it, boys? All right. It's going to be a good day. Acts chapter 2, we're starting in verse 42. But just to recap what's gone on, the apostles, Jesus has told them, wait here to Jerusalem till you receive the gift my Father is going to give you. He ascended into heaven, and they were waiting around for about 10 days. They were in prayer, patiently waiting. And then the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were in a room together praying, and all of a sudden they're able to speak in different languages. And so this kind of carries out into the street, or possibly even maybe the temple area, and all the people from all over the different areas, different countries, Jews from all over, and were in one place. And they hear the apostles speaking the different languages, and what is going on here? And they're declaring the wonders and the works of God. And then they have their attention. So Peter stands up and he preaches to everyone and he tells them what's going on. And this is the promise of the Holy Spirit that was prophesied in Joel. And he tells them who Jesus was and what he did. And it was the Messiah. And all these people are convicted. And what do we got to do to be saved? And he says, believe, right? Believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You'll be baptized. Your sins will be forgiven. And you can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And it says 3,000 were baptized that day. 3,000 people. And this is, think about this. There was about 120, right? 120 Christians, the Bible says. 120 followers of Jesus. Now, there might have been some more, you know, because Jesus made his rounds and, you know, went around in Galilee and different areas. And so there might have been other people that believed, that followed. But there was 120 together there in Jerusalem that were like, even after he was put on the cross, and you know they were seeing him and been around him and during the resurrection and in those 40 days that he was after the cross, and so 120, and to go from 120 to 3,000, can you imagine the growth there, right? The pressure that would have put on the apostles, right? What do you do with 3,000 people? How do you manage 3,000? Were you supposed to manage 3,000? Did Peter and James and John, did they know what they were supposed to do with all these folks? Oh, wow, they were baptized, and now what? Now what do we do? And, of course, they had been trained for this. This is what Jesus had been preparing them for, right? He knew that this was going to happen. He knew that they were going to be, I'm going to say, in charge, but through the mode of serving, right? They lead the way Jesus led by serving. He knew that they were going to be in this position. And now all of a sudden there's 3,000 of them. And there will be more and more that are going to be added. And so what do you do with 3,000? And I guess what you do with 3,000 is what you do with 120. Right? That they're going to do what Jesus told them to do. In today's scripture, that's what we're going to look at. And you know, there's some scriptures that, you know, you got to look and look again and understand, okay, what's the Greek word say here? And let's put this into its context and what is really going on. You got to dig deep and really find out what's happening and make sure you got the meaning. And then you got scriptures like today that I don't even have to preach. Well, I'm going to preach, but I don't have to. You could read this on your own and you know exactly what it's saying and you'd understand it. But what we're looking at today, we don't like to say, Christianity is not about checking boxes. We get that. It's not about checking boxes, right? It's about a life following Jesus Christ. It's about matters of the heart, matters of the spirit. You don't just show up and say, oh, okay, I went to church, good, I did that. Oh, I said a prayer today, that's good. We don't do things for the sake of just doing them because we think that we're supposed to, right? It comes from inside. It comes from who we are. But there are some things that I think you need to check the box right? Not just for the sake of doing it, but it needs to be done. And that's what we're looking at today. I told you we're going to be going through the book of Acts, and we're going to be looking at what the church did in the beginning, and we're going to use it as a model for ourselves. Are we doing these things? We're supposed to be doing these things. How does West University Church of Christ line up with what we're reading in the book of Acts? And, you know, sometimes we use that to, you know, we look at doctrinal issues and things like that. Okay, well, they did this, so we did that. They didn't do this, so we're not going to do that. But then sometimes we just miss the bigger things and all of that. And that's what we're looking at. Today, there's going to be kind of a list. Here's what it looked like. Here's what they did. And I want us to view this. Are we doing some of these things? All right? All right, so let's get into it. I'm starting in verse 42. And remember, this is what we're talking about here is over 3,000 people doing these things. Now, sure, I'm sure there was some that maybe weren't as involved, maybe, you know, but this is about 3,000 that are doing this, okay? Keep that in your mind, because if 3,000 people were doing this, can 50 or 100 people do this? Verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Now, I mentioned there was, you know, approximately 3,000 people. And all those people were from out of town. They were going to leave and go on. But the numbers would keep adding. All right, they would keep growing in Jerusalem and beyond. But it starts off saying in verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings. That's what they were focused on. They were devoted to the apostles' teaching. What were the apostles teaching? They were teaching the very things that Jesus taught to them, right? That's what they were teaching. They were teaching who Jesus was, what he did, what his sacrifice was all about. How do you live now in this new kingdom? That's what they would have been teaching, what Jesus told them. The amazing thing is that they were devoted to it. They were devoted to these teachings. What does the word devotion mean? What's it mean to be devoted to something? How can you tell if you are devoted to something, to someone, to a cause, to a work? What does it mean to be devoted? That's where your time goes. That's where your thoughts go. That's where your resources go. If you're devoted to your spouse, you want to know, you want to ask if you're devoted to your spouse, just ask your spouse. They'll tell you if you're lacking in some areas, right? When you're devoted to something, it takes up your time. You pour into it. And so they were devoted to the apostles' teachings. Guess what? We have these teachings in front of us. We have our Bibles that are filled with the teachings of Jesus, filled with what the apostles wrote. It's in front of us. And so the question then is, are we devoted to the teachings of Jesus Christ and his followers? Are we devoted to them? How much time? And this is nothing. I mean, this is not a complex thing, right? You can answer this question to yourself. You can think, how much time do I spend reading the Bible? It's one of these things that is said so much in churches. It's something, especially if you grew up in the church, that you're supposed to read the Bible. That's what you do. And it's almost just too easy to even say, right? So, well, how do I become a better Christian? Read your Bible. Okay, well, what else? Let's just do that one. Let's just do that one for a while. Let's read the Bible. Let's devote ourselves to the teachings that are here. What you listen to, what you watch, what you read influences you. This is known, right? And I mean, I know this from my own experience. I'm a musical person. Not in that I have any musical talent, because I don't, but I enjoy music. And what I listen to influences me. The words that are going into my head, they have an influence on me and how I act, Right? If I'm around negative things, it brings me down. If all I look at and read are arguments and fighting, that pours into me, and that's what then comes out of me. That's the way it is. We know this. How much time do we give to the Scriptures? This is something that I believe, church, if there's going to be any growth with you, any growth within this church, we have got to be a people that are in the Word of God. And I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. What I want to be doing is encouraging you to set aside time in your day to read the Bible. Pick a book and just start reading through it. I'm not going to use his name because he's in here and it would embarrass him. But he was, as he became a Christian, he said, "Well, I really want to read the Bible. I want to read the Bible." And he would come up, we would meet week to week and say, "Well, I've gotten a little off track this week. I didn't read it every day. And I'm close, but I haven't finished the Bible yet." And I knew in talking to him, you, who at this time was not a Christian yet, you have read more Bible than most Christians. He'd made a commitment to read through the Scriptures. And if I'm not mistaken, he completed that. He told me a while back, "Well, I finally read through it." Okay, I think that took him less than a year. I don't know, about a year, maybe a little less than a year, that he read through the Bible. And that's someone who was brand new to the faith. That was a conviction to me. Wow, when's the last time I read through the Bible? Right? There's a lot of things that, I read that once, and so I never go back and look at it again. I read that, yeah. But devotion to the Bible, does it have my attention? Does it get my time? And I know, sometimes it's not easy. I get it. Sometimes you read through things you might not understand. Sometimes you just don't want to. I understand that, right? Sometimes it can feel like a chore. But that's how anything that is good is, right? Exercising. It's good for you. Sometimes you don't want to do it. You're just not in the mood. And then you know how it goes. You do it and you feel, you're like, "Man, I'm glad I did that. I feel better. I really don't want to eat this food that's healthier for me. I just really don't want to. I got to prepare. I can just order a pizza. It's so much easier." But when you do it, you feel better. Not just physically, but mentally, right? You feel better and you're glad that you did it. This is the most amazing words put on pages in the history of mankind, and we have them laying around like crazy. I think there's a pile of them over here on these pews over here. If you don't have a Bible, grab one. And we just take it for granted, and it sits there and collects dust. Church, if we read our Bible and allow the words written on those pages to influence our lives, the changes it would make in our day-to-day things that we go through, in our day-to-day contact with other people, in our relationships. There was a time in my life, I remember, when I made a commitment. I was reading the Bible. I was studying the Bible. I was in my 20s, and I was reading, bam, bam, every day I was reading the Bible. I was focusing on what Jesus said. And I was talking to a friend, a guy I was working with, and I said something to him. I was in speech, and I said this, which I never said before. But I told him, I said, "I tell you the truth," is what I said. Thanks, Cameron. "I tell you the truth," which I would never have said that before. I might say, "To be honest," or "in my opinion," or "you know what." But I said, "I tell you the truth." And the reason I said that's because if you read the NIV, that's how Jesus started a lot of his things that he was going to say. He said, "I tell you the truth, this." And I'm not saying that this was some great, speaking these words of wisdom or, even sharing the gospel with him. But the words of Jesus were in my head, right? And they were coming out of my mouth, things that he had said. Devoted themselves to the Scriptures. Church, we have got, it's listed here first, and I think this should be first for us. Read your Bibles. Now, there's a lot of things listed here, and I'm not going to spend this much amount of time that I spent on reading your Scriptures on all these, otherwise we'd be here all day. I could just spend the rest of this morning talking about that. Have I got my point across on that? Please say yes. Make a commitment. Find someone in this room or somebody, a brother or sister that you know, and say, "Hold me accountable. Ask me every day. Send me a text. Make me answer the question, did I read my Bible today?" A paragraph. Start there. Maybe you can move it up to a chapter one day, right? Have someone hold you accountable to reading God's Word. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to the fellowship. To the fellowship. The community. of believers together. This is what we have. This is who we are. This is our fellowship right here at West U. This is our group. This is the people, the brothers and sisters that we are worshiping with. They devoted themselves to the fellowship. Are you devoted to this body of believers here? This is not the same thing as friendship, all right? We need to understand that. Friendship is different than fellowship. We choose our friends based on a number of things. We don't always choose, really. We can choose a church we go to, but we don't choose who's in this room. We don't choose our fellowship. I guess God chooses them. And who's here? We're different. We don't see things eye to eye. We have difference of opinions. We have different views on a lot of things outside of these walls here. We see things different politically. We go for different sports teams, right? We have different likes and dislikes. This is not a friendship. This is something that's brought together by something even stronger. We are here together because we all recognize Jesus as our King. And that is first and foremost in our lives. And so you and I may not see eye to eye on a number of things. But you know what? Those things aren't as important as who our King is. And our King wants us to be united, and so we are going to be united. And those things that on the outside might divide us, or that the world says should divide us, I'm not going to let them divide us. We can talk, we can discuss, we can debate, but when it's over, we need to love each other first and foremost, because we are a fellowship, a body of believers, and we need to be committed and devoted to this body of believers. I want us to look at Romans 15. If you have your Bibles, turn to Romans 15. Verse 1 through 7, I might skip one of these middle verses here. Paul says in the book of Romans, he says, "We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves." We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak. Those who have been Christians for a good while should recognize that others still have some failings. And we need to bear with each other. He says, each of us should please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. My mentality should be about building you up, not about me being right or me having my way. That goes on sometimes in churches, and it's not good. It's not pretty. We need to view each other with the intent of building one another up. That is what it means to be committed to this fellowship, that I want to serve you. I'm not here to get my way. Verse 3, our example, for even Christ did not please himself. Jesus did not come here to just please himself. He came to lift up the children of God. That's what Jesus came to do. I'm going to skip down to verse 5. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus. May God who gives us endurance and encouragement give us a spirit of unity. That's what we need in this church, a spirit of unity. To love one another, to encourage one another, to hold each other accountable, to be devoted to Jesus Christ as our King. Give us spirit as we follow Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That when we come to worship God, we are coming together as one. Right? We are a body of believers. We are united. You got to think about this. This is deep. When a man and a woman become, get married, they said the two become one. They are now one. They decide things together, right? Their life is done together. We are similar to that. We are one. I want you to look around. This is awkward. I hate it when preachers do this. I'm sorry. Look around at who's in this room. Are you devoted to these brothers and sisters? Are we united? Are we one? Because we need to be. We're told to be. This is who we are. Verse 7. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. Accept one another, just as Christ accepted you. I'm going to confess to you guys, I like exclusive groups. I like to be a part of exclusive groups. I grew up, I had three brothers, or still do, I have three brothers. And automatically, I had a group that we were exclusive. It was us. And you could be my friend, but you were never going to be my brother. And I had friends that they were only child. And I didn't like understand this at the time, but until I got older and I saw it, like, they wanted in on that group. They saw my brothers and I and how close we were, and they wanted in. I wasn't going to let them in. And this was never talked about. My brothers and I never discussed it. Like, hey, it's just us and nobody else because we're the coolest. No, that never happened. But I know we all thought the same thing, right? And we're exclusive. And that's how I've always been. And it's terrible. It's wrong. That's not the church. We're not exclusive, right? We're not this group that thinks, they can't sit at our lunch table because they're just not cool enough. They don't wear the right clothes. They don't have the lingo, we don't want them to sit at our lunch table. That's not who we are. Who comes through those doors or who someone may bring into our midst, we don't look at them and like, I don't think they're Westview material. They should probably go to one of these other churches. That's not what we do. At least that's not what we should do, right? We are called to accept one another. Here's the thing. Just as Christ accepted you, there are so many people that encounter Jesus from all different walks, right? And not one of them do you think that Jesus, like, oh, Jesus, don't let that guy in. Because you're seeing it from that vantage point of Jesus. The apostles saw that, right? When they're outside Jericho and they're like, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And the apostles are like, people are around them like, hey, leave Jesus alone. They saw that. They were exclusive. Sometimes the apostles were exclusive. Hey, Jesus, they're over here trying to save people in your name. You want to call? Let's call down fire from heaven and burn these guys up. That's exclusive. And Jesus says, no, we don't do that. Hey, little children, y'all leave Jesus alone. He's too busy for y'all. Jesus says, let the children come to me. I like to think that I'm a pretty cool guy, but the honest truth is, if Jesus was like me, he'd probably say, what kind of haircut you got there, buddy? You're not in my group, You didn't even iron your clothes. Like, no, you can't be with Jesus. He accepted me. How dare I think that someone could not belong and be a part of this congregation? We are called to accept one another the same way Jesus accepted us. However, I've been talking and jokingly, about being cool or not cool or whatever. But the reality is sin. And the reality is burdens. And the reality is the things that they bring with them that are messy and dirty. Do we allow them to be a part of this congregation, or do we look for, you need help, but you probably need help by, somewhere else? Jesus Christ accepted us with all of our trash and all of our junk and gave us the opportunity to get rid of it and remove that burden and get rid of our yokes and take on His, which is light and easy. That is our calling to those that come into our midst. That we accept them in the same way that Jesus accepted us. That is what it means to be devoted to this fellowship. We're devoted to one another and we accept one another. We don't leave each other in that spot. We help one another. We encourage one another. Right? I got another verse for you. Hebrews chapter 10. You know this one. It was just read. Stanley read it just a second ago for us. Hebrews chapter 10 verses 23 through 25. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us consider how we may spur one another on, how we may encourage one another, how we may motivate one another, how we may push one another. If you've ever worked out with anyone or exercised or done any type of thing where you had to get better, and I'm thinking in the context of sports because it's usually how this is done. I had a guy that he lifted weights, and he was pretty strong, and he wanted me to go lift weights with him. And I give that impression that I'm real strong, but I'm really not. And he wanted me to go lift weights with him. He always encouraged me, let's go lift weights. And I really didn't want to because this guy was a little bit, fanatical, and I really just didn't want to lift weights. But I said, yeah, because he wouldn't leave me alone about it. And we'd go, and he would push me. If I was by myself, I would say, this one's heavy. I'm good with this weight below. But he would push me to do more, right? Go running with my wife. She'll push you to go further. I'm ready to quit. So you see that tree down there? Let's run to that tree. And then you get there, and then she picks another tree, right? You said this tree. She's spurring me on. That's what we need to do. We don't let each other stay where we're at as Christians because we're devoted to one another and we push each other to become better. Have you read your Bible today? Do you have things in your life that you're struggling with now? Let's talk about them. Let's get them out there. How's your prayer life? Do we do this with each other and hold each other accountable? We got to, church. Because you know what? Sometimes we're all we got. This is our fellowship. And we must motivate and encourage and inspire one another to be more like Jesus, because we need to be devoted to one another. He says, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together. Verse 25, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. Oh man, if there's ever been a verse that is applicable today, it is this one. There are so many, when you know, COVID-19 hit, that we stopped meeting, we met online, and I get that, and if you're in a compromised situation, you need to stay where you're not around others, I get that. So I'm not talking about that. I'm talking those, though, who are using it as an excuse to not go back. If you're spending time in restaurants, but you're not spending time with your brothers and sisters in Christ, let's talk about it. What's going on? If you're around people in other places, but you say, well, I'm too scared to go to church, we need to talk about this. We can't forsake this time to come together, to join together, to be united, because we are here because there's a man who died on the cross for us and rose from the dead. And we come together to celebrate that because we are family, we are fellowship, we are devoted to one another. That needs to be happening. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching, because it's coming faster and faster. Every day we live, we're closer to Jesus' coming back. And so we need to encourage one another more and more. Church, make an effort to be here. Make an effort. And you're here. I'm talking to you, right? You're here. But maybe you're not here next week, and I'm saying this, and, you know, I can think, we got vacation. I got a Sunday. I'm not going to be here coming up in November. I get it. It happens. You need to spend time with your family. You're not always here all the time. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking, you stay up late on Saturday night, and you sleep in on Sunday morning. Right? Is that devotion? Is that being devoted to the fellowship? Other times when the church comes together to meet, make an effort to be here. I get there's jobs. I understand that there's reasons you can't, right? But make sure those reasons that aren't as important, don't place them above being together with your brothers and sisters in Christ. When we come together at times during the week, Wednesday night, or when we have a fellowship meal, be there, because you're devoted to this congregation. We're told to. We're commanded to in Scripture. We're not commanded just because God just wants to give us something to do. There's a reason for it. He knows how we should live. He knows how the church should operate. So when he says, devote yourselves to each other, don't give up meeting together, there's a reason for it. Because we need to be united. My plan was to get through verse 47. It's not happening today. It's not happening. I'm looking at the clock. We're not getting it. So if you're thinking like, oh, it's not going to happen. All right, we'll come back to it. But there's two more I want to talk about briefly. Be devoted to reading the Scriptures, the apostles' teachings. Be devoted to this fellowship of believers, to the breaking of bread, to the breaking of bread. Now, this can mean just eating. I'm not going to preach on that because I don't think any of us in here have a problem not being devoted to eating. All right, I'm devoted to eating. It's gotten me this far. I'm going to stick with it. Talking about communion, talking about what we just did. The little cup, the plastic cup that you grab with the little wafer in it and the grape juice in it, and what that's all about. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on that because I'm going to come back to it on another Sunday, okay? Are you committed to coming together with your brothers and sisters in Christ and taking communion? That's what he's talking about. Or that's what they were doing in Acts. We will come back to that. Chances are next week. And the last one, be devoted to prayer. To prayer. I mentioned this earlier, how we come together on Sunday mornings to pray. That's a perfect opportunity to come and pray. I can't say enough good things about it. It's amazing. At other areas in your life, are you devoted to praying at night or in the mornings with your family, with those around you, at your job, when you have time? Not just when things come up. Not just when things are bad, but in just communicating with God. Have you ever had the opportunity to meet someone or thought about, man, if I could just meet someone, maybe your boss, right? Maybe you got your job and you see all that goes on, good and bad. And this person, they do good stuff, but they never get recognized. And this person over here, I don't even know why they're still working here. And you think, man, if I could just talk with the boss, man, I would tell him this, and this. And maybe you get the opportunity, maybe you don't, right? Try this. Write down, man, if I could talk to God, what would I tell him? Well, the thing is, you can't talk to him, right? Write it all down. Write it all down. And then tell him what you wrote down. Read it to him. Talk to God. It doesn't have to be about, God, I need this, or God, this is going on in my life. It can be anything. Devotion to prayer. And what we're looking at here in this scripture specifically, though, is that they were devoted to prayer together. Together. Prayer can be done anywhere, all the time. I think, I'm imagining with us, with our congregation, with kind of our background, Church of Christ, Restoration Movement, that we get that, and we know that, and we do that. I'm thinking that most people in here pray often. We probably say a lot of little small prayers throughout the day. Maybe we have a good one before dinner. Maybe you have a big one at night or early in the morning or something. I think that happens. I would bet on that. But what we're looking at here is communally praying together. Do we as a church pray together? I don't think we do that well. I don't. And the only reason I'm saying that is because I'm here and I see, I'm not praying with you. I'll pray with you on Sunday morning once. During this time, during this hour, I'll pray on Sunday morning. But we're not. And we need to be more so. I don't have an answer to that. Let's figure that out, church. Right? Church, not Joseph, not just elders, church. Let's figure that out. How can we pray together more and be devoted to that? This is where our sermon ends this morning. Four things that we should be devoted to. That we should give our time, our energy, our money, our resources. This is what we should be devoted to. God's word. The apostles' teaching, scripture, what Jesus said, devote yourselves to that. We need to be, we've been talking about it for probably too long now, some of y'all might think, but we're devoted to it here, but are you devoted to it at home and in your own time? To the fellowship, to this body of believers. This is your congregation. If you are a member here, devote yourself to it. Let's devote ourselves to the breaking of bread, to communion. I'll say this and I'll drop it till we bring it up again. If you're not giving the proper time and energy and effort to communion, I think your Christian life is going to be very hard. We do it first thing. That is Sunday. That's got to happen because that is our time to commune together with Jesus Christ, with God. That's got to be first and foremost. And we'll come back to that another time. And lastly, to prayer. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is where I check these things off. If we devote ourselves to these things, church, let's watch what happens. Let's see God work in this body of believers. You must make that commitment to devote yourself to these things. And we'll leave it at that this morning. If this congregation can do anything for you, if you need prayers, if there's something that we can assist in any way, you need the prayers of the elders or the ministers here. If you have been thinking about becoming a Christian, if you're not, if you want to get baptized, that can happen this morning. If you are not a member of this church and you say, hey, you know what? I need to be devoted to this to a church, and this one's as good as any, I guess. Why not? You can make that. You can place membership here this morning. We'd love for you to be a part of our family. We want to grow, not just numerically, spiritually. We want to look more and more like the kingdom of God. Right? We're working towards that. And you can place membership with this church. All those things you can do during this time as we stand and sing.